audience, which we don't have. So how's everybody doing? I hope you guys are doing well, and thank you for tuning into the Funny Business Radio Show. I've got a couple of special guests tonight, starting off with Aaron Sanchez, who is a he's an anchor person. He's got a show on ABC, and it's on KMET 1490 AM, KBVB TV, and that is on weekdays at Monday through Friday at 8 AM. Is that West Coast time?
The answer is yes, West Coast time. That's Pacific time. So you're
okay.
East Coast time, right? Or no? Just
I am East Coast. I am East Coast. Yep.
Now, more importantly, what's part of the East Coast? Because I'm hoping you're not, like, in the thick of it.
No. So I am are you familiar with the geography? Like, I'm not great at geography, but, you know, like New York State. So, you know, New York City is about 4 hours east of me. I am in between Syracuse and Albany.
The closest I ever came to there was, I think, Boston and then New Jersey and then New York. So
that's as close as
I get, I think, in geography. I flunked geography, so just so you know. But
I'm not great at geography. You know, I tour the country. I do these I'm the headliner for the Big and Tall Comedy Tour. And what we try to do is when we book a show somewhere, like in the Midwest in Michigan, we've been out there. This is going to be our third time coming up. I book shows around that.
Oh, wow.
We do like Indiana, we do Ohio, so we're out doing a run of shows, and that's how we do tours and stuff like that. But I think Jesse is in queue. Jesse, are you on the line?
I am here. Good afternoon. Good evening.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, there he is.
Hey. Sorry. You know, the heat has my phone working overtime. Mm. I think so. I apologize for that.
Sure. Are you guys, you know, Aaron, I saw your show today, part of your show this morning. And it was funny because I'm like, okay, 8 a.m. And then I caught it. It was like 11-ish. And I'm like, oh, it's got to be West Coast, whatever. So I know that you're working full bore because you're in media. Jesse, are you working, the same as you did before, or has COVID slowed you down a little bit?
No, it's double time these days, so it's crazy.
Okay.
You know, I thought I'd get a little bit of downtime, but no, it's moving fast and furious during this time.
Yeah, definitely. I am off because, you know, my only source of income was stand-up comedy, and I was making money for my tour, and so what I did was I had to take my marketing business, which was on the back burner, the back burner, and I had to move it up to the front burner. And I do web design, I do SEO, which is search engine optimization. And luckily, I got a web design for a law firm in Albany, and that's been helping out. But, you know, thank God for the stimulus. And, you know, let's talk about the stimulus that's coming up for small business owners, the COVID-19 relief, .sba.gov. I looked at the website today, and it's still, you know, it's still a lapse in the appropriations, but that should be opening back up. I mean, it's $1,000 for, you know, if you're in small business, and if you have, and it's per, like, employee, too. They get $1,000 as well, up to $10,000. Am I correct in that?
So there is a $10,000 program, and then this is apart from that whole PPP, which, as you probably know, ran out of money initially,
yeah.
And then they are literally in the process of cutting a new check for the fund. So it hasn't, as of this morning, they hadn't finalized it. They hadn't made the funds available, but it seems like it's going to happen, and it should happen, you know, literally any day now.
Yeah. So I also want to give people the URL for that so you can put it into your, you know, bookmark it. But it's COVID-19relief.sba.gov. And just keep an eye on that because the appropriations, they will open back up. And you're going to want to apply for that right away because it's going to be – people are going to be going to that thing like a beehive, you know. They're going to be just – and it's first come, first serve, and that money runs out, it runs out. But you can get up to $10,000.
Well, the reality is, you know, yeah, we actually had an attorney on the morning show, and he talked about, even off camera, and he says, you know, it was literally crazy. Like, it's almost like event tickets, you know, to, I guess, if anybody wants or listens to Britney Spears, you know, you're like, okay, yeah, and it's out,
mm-hmm.
you know, literally by the afternoon.
Yeah.
So you have to jump on it the moment it becomes live.
Yes, yeah. So definitely bookmark
that.
You
know, I'll actually
URL. Go ahead.
I'll go one further. You know, because there are people that were in line for the last pool that didn't get in on it, and so they are literally sitting at the front of the line. So I would just say, get it. You know, get your paperwork in now, because if you wait until the funds are available, it might be too late for you.
Right. Yeah. I went on today, and you know, there's no link to sign up. It just has that notice, you know, there's a lapse in appropriation. So, I'm going to keep going back to that because, you know, I mean, it's just me. I'm a one person operation. I have a couple of businesses that I run. I run my, you know, my marketing business and my comedy business. So, hey, $1,000 helps, right? It's free money. You know, it's a grant, you know, to pay it back. And I encourage people to do that, but that is COVID19relief.sba.gov. And you want to definitely go there and bookmark that. So, you know, tonight, what I want to talk about, guys, is so many small business owners, and, you know, small business still drives America. It really does. And there's a lot of people that are hurting, that their sales are way off, and or some are just, they have ceased to, you know, to do business. I talked to a massage therapist. I was telling Erin earlier that she's like, I don't know what to do. My business is going to fold. And so I asked her, I said, do you sell merchandise? And she said, I do. I have a manufacturer, and I get CBD oils from him. And I said, contact him and see if you can do some orders on your website, take some orders, and see if he will drop ship that CBD oil for you. You know what I mean? And she was pretty excited about that. So what other tips? Let's talk, like, we'll start off with retail. You know, people have small business shops and things like that. One of my suggestions is to sell online. Are there any other suggestions that come to mind when people have a retail business because they're closed down now?
We have a regular retail strategist that we have on each and every week. And, you know, it's funny, I asked her this as well. And it's interesting that some of the retail, the big giants that would normally be closed down, were smart because they thought ahead to partner up with other very essential, so to speak, outlets.
Yeah.
For example, shopping centers, right? Like for groceries or anything else that's considered deemed, you know, Walmarts of today.
Yeah.
There are certain places that have actually teamed up with these already and are able to continue to do business. So it's kind of late in the game for that right at this minute. However, that's one suggestion that I've heard in the retail. Jesse, I'm pretty sure you have a couple.
Yeah, well, I agree with you in the sense that, you know, it may seem like it's a little bit late. And in some cases, you know, it may be by the time you get your, let's say, website up and running, if you don't have one already. But we really don't know. One thing we don't know is how soon we're going to be back up and running. You know, in a new normal. And the second thing, and this is probably just as important, is, you know, and we're seeing this in Georgia, for example, we don't know, even when they open up for business, we don't know what percentage of consumers are actually going to venture out. So, you know, if you're a retailer, start, you know, even though it might seem like it's too late, start setting up your online presence using, you know, a Shopify, for example, which is a very user-friendly platform for small businesses. You might also want to look at setting up an account with Amazon and then having orders taken through there. Because, you know, even once the doors open, I'll give you one example. I put a survey out on my Twitter account, and I asked, this had to do with restaurants, and I asked if restaurants in your city were given the okay to reopen their dining rooms to the public on May 1st, would you go and eat inside the restaurant? And so far, I've got nearly 3,600 respondents, and 71% are saying no. They're saying we would not go in. You know, they'll take out. You know, they'll have it delivered, but they won't actually come into the business because they're afraid. And one of the comments that was made, and it's a very valid comment, is a lot of these employees, you know, are very desperate for that income, and even if they are sick, they will hide it because they need the money. And so you don't know if you go into a restaurant or you go into a retailer whether someone in there is actually sick, but, you know, but just needs to survive. And so is going to hang in there as long as possible. So so I would say, you know, look at those online options, even if you think it's too late, because we really don't know how soon things will get back to, you know, or get to a new normal going forward.
Yeah. And that's a great point because, you know, like I'm in New York, and New York is probably not going to open up as quickly as everybody else is going to open up either. But yeah, you want to build your online presence. I mean, just do that now. It's great advice because you never know what's going to happen again. I mean, they might expect this thing back in the fall. It might be a seasonal thing or whatever. But yeah, build it up. And you know what? If you're a web designer too, like I'm a web designer, I was looking at if you want to try to get some gigs, what you do is go to Craigslist, you know, Craigslist.org. And then I typed in like New York City. And then they have those gigs, right? There's like talent, there's like writing, there's like event, and there's like computer as well. And so I was looking at some computer gigs to see if they had any jobs where you could work remotely, okay? And somebody was looking for like a Shopify person to build their website. There's going to be a lot of requests for Shopify. So if you're a webmaster and you're not familiar with Shopify, I would get schooled in Shopify because a lot of people are going to start to go with e-commerce websites.
Well, and that's a great point because, and we talked to another very important business, which is Brother Manufacturing. You know, they pivoted a little bit more. And I didn't even know, I know Brother for the copiers that they make. I had no idea that they also did sewing machines. And so they are selling more and more selling sewing machines because, let's face it, now all of the things that we were taught in school, for example, right, home ec way back when. I don't know if they still teach that. You know, now all of those little those important things like cooking, right? They say bread is at an all-time high for selling. So during COVID-19, people are actually, you know, in some cases, people are actually profiting right now, whereas the majority of other ones are not. However, they're thinking outside the box. Like Brother, for example, went on a media campaign and a media tour saying, look, we are doing something. We're actually donating some of our industrial ones over to some other manufacturing facilities to be able to say we're going to do some good during COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So I would say when it comes to the retail space, if at all possible, see what, you know, can be done maybe for the community. I know a lot of, for example, restaurants and establishments. For example, one, big shout out to Chop Stop, who actually donated some of their existing inventory because they're like, if we don't get rid of it, it's going to go bad. So they went ahead and donated over to a local hospital for the frontline workers. So we're starting to see a lot of these out-of-the-box thinking, which, let's face it, any business right now that's hurting, that's kind of like held back from doing any good, or worse yet, you know, they're firing their people and not, you know, not helping them out. There's some CEOs that actually have done some really good stuff as well. They make the public record. And, hey, when it comes to PR, at least getting the word out of doing some more good than bad, then of course you're already ahead of the curve when everything does, and it will come back, whether or not it stays back because of a potential second spike, that remains to be seen. But if we do have this whole, look, here in Los Angeles in California, we have till May 15th, unless they extend it again. And I don't know about you, Jesse, if you think we're going to go back, but regardless, I would say take the necessary next few months and start revamping your business and or your service in the event that we do have another stay-at-home, in the event that we have another surge down the line. And the CDC said that could be in fall or even winter.
You got to be prepared, that's for sure. Hey, I have an idea for Brother, by the way. I was thinking about this for a long time. Hulk Hogan, right? His favorite expression there is, his famous expression is, Brother. You know, he would be great for doing like a brother commercial. It's like, that's right, Brother. You know, what copies do you get? Brother. You know, so that's what I'm thinking. Hulk Hogan would be great for a Brother.
We should tweet them. That's how we'll do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's pitch it to him. But yeah, you got to be prepared. You have to definitely because you don't know what's going to happen, what's going to come up. I mean, can you imagine? We are in the year 2020, okay? 21st century. Did you ever think that we would have a virus that would go, it would be a worldwide pandemic? No, because, you know, back in the, like, 80s and 90s, you know, watching the Jetsons and all that, we thought we'd have flying cars by the year 2000. People can't even drive on the ground. How are we going to have flying cars? Can you imagine a couple of, like, sticks, whatever, that get you up in the air and forward? No, but, you know, we're dealing with this pandemic, and hopefully we'll have some vaccines, whatever that is coming up. I don't know what is going to take care of it, but as we do the research and stuff like that, I mean, yeah, prepare, because you don't know what's going to happen fall or winter time. That's great advice.
Well, I tell you what, Mike, and Aaron can attest to this. I actually did think we were going to have a pandemic, but I thought it was going to be the zombie pandemic. So I missed that one. I was off by a little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the zombie apocalypse, but yeah, it's crazy stuff. So, Jesse, I was watching your show this morning, and you were talking about inventions, right? Like, and you're talking about, you mentioned Shark Tank and things like that. So everybody who's got some time now, because, you know, we put stuff on the back burner, we have these ideas, and sometimes we don't know how to implement the ideas, right? We'll have an idea for an invention, whatever. Now that you have some time, it's a great time to, you were talking about working on the prototype. You know, it's not hard to do. And then, of course,
right.
You got to do a little bit of research on the patent to see if, you know, see if somebody's already done that. Like, I had an idea for, like, a paintbrush, because I was in the contracting business for a while. That was, like, I was going to call it adjust brush, where you adjust it to, like, a 45-degree angle on the handle, a 90-degree angle, because sometimes you got tight spaces and stuff like that. And I talked to an attorney who was a patent attorney. He's like, yeah, it's already been done. So, you know, do a little bit of research, but that's a project that you can do if you were thinking about writing a book. Here's a great idea if you're going to write a book. I have an ebook out that is on sales. Write an ebook and make it digital. And there's a website called PayHip, PayHip, PayHip.com, and do a digital one first to get it out there, and then continue writing your book. You know, you got to write like 1,000 words a day, which is like the goal, whatever. But get an ebook out and sell it digitally. Are there some other ideas?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
You've talked to people about any other ideas that, you know, you've thought about to give some, you know, give some advice to people. Oh, by the way, before you mention that, I'm going to give you the number to call in if you want to ask Jesse or Aaron a question. The number is 516-531-9305. We did have a caller in earlier. I lost him in queue. It was a 646 number, so call back in. The number again, 516-531-9305. Call in. We'll put you on the air. You can ask Aaron or Jesse a question. So those ideas for people?
Well, it's funny you say that. I know Jesse, we talked about this last week about, you know, writing a book, and Jesse has his own book. You might want to mention that, Jesse.
Yeah. So a couple of books, but the most recent one wasn't too far from what you're doing, Mike, and it's on building an email marketing strategy, and it's the authoritative guide to email list building. And along those lines, and you know, relative to what you said, you know, I think an ebook is a great idea, but another great way to build the content for your book is actually a blog. And so, you know, where maybe each of your blog posts represents a chapter of the book.
Right.
And so you kind of build on it. And, you know, the beautiful part about that is as you get feedback from readers, they'll tell you, hey, you know, great idea. What about this? And so you can go back in and reincorporate that. And, I was a blogger, gosh, you know, when blogging probably started. And in the early days of blogging, there was this thought that a blog had to resemble a print article in the sense that, you know, once it was out there, you couldn't change it. And over time, the thinking has changed. And I was always of the mindset that, no, it's a work, you know, a blog post is always a work in progress. And so the conventional thinking now is that, yeah, you know, if you put something up there and you need to change it, you know, go ahead and change it. You know, you may want to indicate that you've updated it so that people that go back to it can pick up on the new updated information. But But a blog post, can be that living, breathing
sure.
document that you then use as the basis for your final version, which is your book.
Sure. Yeah, that's
yeah,
awesome.
Go ahead, Aaron. And Mike, you know, back to your earlier statement about the attorney friend. You know, I think I discussed that on the morning show today, where sometimes you have friends and family that, you know, you go to, and even sometimes a professional, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, it's already been done. However, maybe it hasn't been done another way. You know, I always
sure.
say, and Jesse and I always talk about this, you know, write everything down. Jesse's great at this. He carries a notebook with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whenever we're just talking and we're just having, you know, maybe a meal or we start talking, he writes it down. That's how Two Men in Your Business actually started to begin with. It was literally, I think I had a glass of wine. He had a Chardonnay. I don't know what it was, but
mm-hmm.
whatever.
And then a couple more after
just,
that. And
yeah. Right. Right. Just, yeah. But, and this, the idea came to do this, and to be honest, how many business shows are out there, to be honest? Quite a
sure.
few, right? I including
yeah.
all of ours and then some. And we thought, you know what? Let's just throw it up there. Let's see what happens. And the moment
mm-hmm.
we did, less than 30 days later, somebody saw us on YouTube. They asked us to come out, do a speaking gig. We enjoyed the community that we ended up getting flown to, all expenses paid, did a big speaking
nice.
Engagement. So you never know what your idea
yeah.
and or
yeah.
thought is going to do, but oftentimes the hardest thing is just to implement it. And although ideas
mm-hmm.
have been thought of, like we were talking about on today's show, 3D printing, laser
yeah.
engraving in or laser, you know, there's so many people, including 11-year-olds and 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds, creating
mm-hmm.
pretty cool, innovative things that do you think they went and asked, hey, has this been made already? No, they just go ahead and do it. Now they're marketing it using what? Kickstarter and or Indiegogo. And Kickstarter
right.
being, I think, the more prevalent one because you can get
mm-hmm.
picked up by media. It's actually a trusted source for crowdsourcing. And a lot of people, I've been seeing a lot of people actually still crowdsourcing funds for either a really good idea or just throw it up there and see what happens. Again, we all know about
right.
what it makes to not, you know, infringe upon a patent. So that is good due diligence, which you want to do. But Jesse, any ideas
yeah.
on that as well?
No, I think that is spot on. Yeah, I mean the crowdfunding phenomenon has sort of slowed down a little bit, but at the same time, those platforms have picked up, you know, a large following. So if you've got something that you know, is reasonably innovative, you can put it up there and it will get traction. Plus, you know, as YouTube continues to be, you know, a bigger and bigger platform, you know, using that as a way to showcase
mm-hmm.
your product, you know, becomes a way to, you know, you do it inexpensively. You know, eventually, you know, the idea for many of these folks is to maybe make their way onto the Shark Tank type of shows. And so,
yeah.
You know, so you kind of build it up little by little. And as you get to the next step, you know, you do a little bit more and you get to the next step and eventually you get noticed by the Shark Tank folks, you know, you reach out to them and they see that you've got some traction
mm-hmm.
and, you know, maybe at that point they'll be willing to, you know, to give you a shot at it. But, Aaron is right. I mean, there's, you know, there are ideas everywhere and they can come, you know, whether you're 11 or 61 years old, they're literally everywhere, but
sure.
you're not going to know if your idea is worth anything until you take those first few steps and try
right.
it out. And like you said, Mike, at the start of the show, I mean, this might be the perfect opportunity while you're, you know, locked up in your home, this might be a perfect chance
yeah.
to start experimenting and trying some of that stuff.
Sure. I want to encourage people to, you know, to watch Shark Tank because it's inspiring. You know, if they can do it, you know, you got to have the attitude of, if they can do it, I can do it. So you want to watch Shark Tank. You want to see how the negotiations go because if that ever happens where it's you, and a lot of people say that they watch the show and they get on the show and they do awful there. Okay. So watch it and that'll and be like Jesse, you know, get a notepad and take some notes and things like that. But I want to also encourage you to not be so fearful. You know, don't jump in with both feet, okay? But you want to test the waters, but you don't want to dip in with your toe and go, oh, it's so cold in there, like a pool, right? And you never jump in, all right? So like Jesse said, take the first couple of steps, and then, you know, don't be fearful because, you know, you got to push past that fear sometimes in order to reach the promised land. So you want to – you don't want to play the what-if game. you know, what if I had done that? And you never do. You got to take a chance sometimes. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't take a lot of money to get what you want to be, right? Like doing a prototype and things like that. Like Jesse was, Aaron was talking about this morning on the show. And, you know, you don't have to spend a ton of money, whatever. Just make a small investment, you know, test it out. But you gotta go for it at some point. Don't be so fearful that that fear holds you back.
Well, and you know what, back to the question as what the item was, just for people that are listening right now, it was a little key device, which looked like a key, but you hold it, and so, you know, on the little pin pads that you mm-hmm. go shopping,
yeah.
you could touch that with the little device and or open, because it had a hook in it, so you could open the doors made of wood. Now, to be honest, as I was very on today's show, I believe, I wouldn't buy it, but after we got off the air, you know what Brenda, my lady over there, she said? She goes, yeah, I want that. That's actually pretty good. I wouldn't mind mm-hmm. putting some money to that. Now, so I thought, well, that's interesting, and that was like a $100,000 idea, because that became really big on Kickstarter, and that was such a very simple device that I thought, okay, it worked for somebody, so, you know, and that mm-hmm. person is reaping the benefit on the production versus the cost of it versus just the marketing. And
sure.
again, it was for COVID-19. So, of course, it's hot. It's a marketing mm-hmm. idea right now. Does it mean it's going to last long term? No. Is it a fad? Yes. However, hey, whatever makes the money in the meantime.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, Jesse, you were talking about blogging before. I remember when blogging first came out. I think it was like, what was it, Blogspot or Blogger or something like that. So
that's
there's
right.
another,
yeah, the Blogspot. That's right.
Right, Blogspot, right. So there's another website that is highly, you know, underrated, and a lot of people, you know, don't even go on LinkedIn. Okay, so here's a great part about LinkedIn. LinkedIn, you connect with people in business, okay? You connect with a lot of executives, all right? And you can actually blog. You can do a blog on LinkedIn. So I want to encourage you, you know, you always start out, if you haven't signed up for it yet, you always start out with like just yourself, and you start to like add some people, whatever. But I'm up to like 6,000, I think, you know, followers or whatever that is. And, you know, just build it up little by little. Social networking, I mean, Facebook, a Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all that stuff that we mentioned is there, and it's free. You got to spend some time and do a little, you know, have a little elbow grease, but definitely use those to your advantage. And we got a caller. So let me just, can I bring a caller in for you guys?
Sure.
Is that cool? All right. It's a 714 area code. You're on the air. What's your name?
Hey, this is Bobby Stamps.
Hey,
Bobby
Stamps.
What's
How
up,
are you?
Guys?
Bobby's a longtime listener of the morning show, weekdays at 8 a.m., also known as our Breakfast Club member. Bobby, how are you doing?
Yeah, man, I'm out here sweating in my garage cleaning the fans for the summer here. Kind of hit us here in Southern California early. Yeah.
There you go.
Just
I saw Bobby on the morning show as he was on, like, there was Facebook posts and things like that. People were making comments. And I think, did I see that you're the number one fan?
Yeah. You added me, so I didn't know who you were.
Yeah.
So I just found out by registering on your website, but I had a little bit of problems, but we don't need to talk about that right now. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for calling in. You got a question for these guys?
I always have questions for all three of you.
Sure.
You know, okay. Where should I start?
I don't know. Whatever's off the top of your head.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Follow me at shadow3413 at twitter.com.
You know, speaking of Twitter, by the way, a lot of people undervalue
mm-hmm.
Twitter in this day and age. I don't know about you, Mike, but Twitter for me has exploded quite literally, even during coronavirus. I mean, you know, and for those content creators out there, because what I'm seeing, and correct me if I'm wrong, even you, Mike, you know, you're going using a digital platform that can reach around the world, right? And anybody can tune
mm-hmm.
in, anybody can call in, right? However, being able to be on multiple platforms is kind of what people are starting to just dive into. And I think that's a huge opportunity for a lot of business mm-hmm. owners. For example, back to retail space, me and my lady actually went over to Michael's. And anybody that doesn't know Michael's, it's an art and craft store. Although we were able to buy online and then have them bring it out to us curbside, and they literally, you open up your trunk, they bring it into the trunk, and you're good to go. Even Brenda was like, you know what, I can't see what's in the aisle. I want somebody to be able to live stream on from there. And, you know, and you could do so on Twitter. Twitter has Periscope TV.
Sure.
Facebook has Facebook Live. LinkedIn, in fact, back to LinkedIn, has LinkedIn Live. And, you know, Bobby's a perfect example of, he watches our show every day and is part of a community on Facebook. You know, however, we get a lot of people on Periscope. We get some people on LinkedIn. We rebroadcast on YouTube Live. So I would say for people that don't are, or are already in that creative space, you know, there's a couple really good platforms that I recommend to be able to rebroadcast your show and or your thought, you know, or maybe you have a 30-minute interview to reuse a couple of them. I use Restream.io. They have a trial as well as another one, which is called Switchboard Live. They also have a mini trial, and you can try it out, test it out, download a free service called OBS software, and you can get up and running. A lot of gamers, gaming, by the way, has taken off like nobody's business. So that's another retail that's actually really surviving quite well. Although the GameStops aren't doing that well, the entertainment business is doing fantastic in gaming. So I hope that helps.
Sure.
Regarding Twitter.
Yeah, definitely. And just, you know, you mentioned entertainers. So, you know, I've got the, you know, my comedy tour and stuff like that. So we're doing pay-per-view, and there are apps like Boxcast, and there's some other ones out there too, where you can do a pay-per-view event. You don't, it's not going to be on television, but it's going to be through your devices and things like that. So Boxcast, B-O-X-C-A-S-T, just like it sounds. And what they do is, I think it's $99 a month, and then they take like 25%. So on a $20 ticket, they're going to take $5, but you're going to get a percentage of something instead of 100% of nothing. But if you want to do a pay-per-view event, if you're a musician or a comedian or whatever that is, check out a pay-per-view event. And you can also sell your downloads. I've got, you know, we did a show at the Syracuse Funny Bone, one of the major comedy clubs in America. And we got like a $6.99 rental for 3 days, or you can buy it for $15. There's definitely ways that you can make money as a performer. So.
Yeah. And if I can also give another one, another good one is Kling, C-L-E-E-N-G.
Yes.
And I think for theirs, it's just, you can run it up on YouTube as an unlisted video, and then you can create a play, or rather a, what did they call it? A portal, a pay portal. And they collect the funds, they redistribute it to you, you just have to pay it monthly. And so as long as you have a good marketing, you know, budget and or know how to turn around even a few dollars into a good marketing, I would recommend marketing on Facebook. Right now that the income for a lot of people that are digital marketers is actually not that bad depending on what they are selling. And because the ad space, let's face it, the big boys have kind of held back, and then therefore they're, you know, it's ultra cheap as from what I've been hearing.
Sure. Yeah. Going back to Kling real quick again, it's C-L-E-E-N-G. I'm a member of Kling. So you got to have, you sign up for a Kling account, which is free. But in order to broadcast that, like, you take the embed code from your YouTube and you put it into the embed code, but you need a platform as well to drive it. So they have some partners like Movie, M-U-V-I, or actually I think Movie is $49 a month to do the live stream. And then what Kling does is they take off a $20 ticket, they take like $1.68 per person. So it's not too bad of a fee. You can also go with IBM. And we tested out IBM. It was amazing video and it was amazing sound. And that's like $99 a month through IBM. So there is one more step with Kling that you have to go through.
Well, and back to Facebook. Facebook has just rolled out, they just announced it this week for video creation, especially for the gaming industry, back to gaming. So you've got a lot of, look, people that love to play games, especially during this time. I would say start, if you have the time, get on there and sign up for an account.
Yeah.
All you need is a page, but you have to type in a gaming video creator in your about page, and they will give you the tools to be able to actually make money. A lot of gamers get donated money from other gamers. It's not a new phenomenon. It's actually quite old now in the gaming world by Twitch. Of course, YouTube has been doing it, but now Facebook's the next front runner to want to cash in on that. And they were supposed to bring it and release it later on in June or July, but they said, you know what, during COVID-19, that's a perfect example of Facebook saying, how can we cash in on this? So obviously they put it pretty fast. It's already available on the Android device. You could download it. However, it's still going to be hopefully coming out on the iOS, iPhone app soon. So look forward to that as well.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, there's so many ways to do that. I mean, like I said, if you have digital downloads too, like I'm a musician, I'm a parody artist, and I've got my stuff on iTunes and Apple Music and things like that. But there's other websites out there as well. If you want to get your digital downloads out there and you want to have those for sale. I know, I was actually thinking about doing like a record label, because I know with some of those big sites with Amazon, iTunes, Apple Music and stuff, they don't give a lot per download. I mean, I think on a 99-cent download, it might be like a couple of cents per download. So I was actually thinking about doing my own record label and having like a site where people can, you know, upload their songs and things like that. And then, you know, and we would take a small cut. I know, like, there's a site called OnlyFans.com, which takes, like, 20%, but you pocket 80%. So, you know, there's lots of ideas out there. And you got to think outside the box. And I want to encourage people. I'm sure you guys do this, Jesse, you and Aaron. You brainstorm, okay? And I encourage people all the time to brainstorm for every day. You know, take at least a half hour a day, maybe an hour a day, now that you have some downtime, and just think of ideas and just brainstorm and write them down. And find ways to implement them. Do you guys brainstorm?
Yeah,
at all?
You know, it's so true. It's you know, Aaron talked about the notepad that I carry around with me, and the most important place to actually have that, quite honestly, is on your nightstand, because it's the best time for your idea gathering is when your mind is sort of at rest it's just kind of working, it's put everything away and it's just kind of working on just letting you relax. And when you're in that relaxed state, whether it's when you're just about to go to bed or whatever it might be, or even in a dream, and you wake up or that idea comes to you, a lot of times we'll say, oh, I'll make note of that in the morning when I get up, and then we forget about it. And, you know, it might be the million dollar idea. And so what I recommend to people is just have a pad of paper and a pencil or a pen by your nightstand. And as those ideas come to you, get up and jot them down and then go back to bed. When you wake up in the morning, you'll sit there and say, hey, I got two or three ideas last night. And you do this, continuously, over the span of a week, of a month, you're going to have some really good stuff there that's actionable. A lot of it might be a great idea at the time. At 2 o'clock in the morning, it might be the greatest idea since sliced bread. And when you wake up, you realize it's not so good. But you have enough of these, you're going to have you'll have a few that you can pursue that might turn into something.
Sure. Yeah. Another great device too is taking your phone. You know, we got the voice memo on there. If you don't have a pad or whatever, just hit record on that voice memo and just talk into your phone and just record it. You know, I mean, a lot of times you're on the road, I'll get like a song that I think of and stuff. You know, I'm a parody artist, so I'm always changing the lyrics to songs and things like that. Like I was thinking about one, you know, because we've been in COVID-19 for quarantine for like 3 weeks. I mean, there's probably some ladies that aren't shaving their pits, right? They're going all European and stuff like that. So that song, you know, The Lion Sleeps
Tonight. Don't get me started.
You need to shave tonight. You know, there's a jungle, an armpit jungle, stuff like that. So your voice memo on your phone works really well for that too when you're on the road. And some of the best ideas I get, me personally, I don't mean to, you know, no TMI here or anything like that, but when I'm in the shower, I just like, I empty my mind. And I get a lot of ideas in the shower. So if you're gonna bring a notepad with you, make sure it's waterproof. But I have my phone outside my shower, or whatever. I'm like, all right, here's an idea. Boom, and I get back in the shower, or whatever. But
maybe we need to all do a mastermind in the shower with our clothes on. Thank you very much.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Yeah, we got to keep the show, family friendly.
No, but back to your question. You know, Jesse and I always, whenever we meet up, and we just meet up maybe for a happy hour, you know, we often just kind of throw things off to each other, and we say, hey, what's the problem that you're having? Or I'll say, well, there's a problem that I'm having. And all of a sudden, within like a couple of minutes, we're brainstorming left and right. So I would challenge anybody out there, you know, if you're not already, because I know a lot of people that are very imaginative, but they don't have any good business sense. Whereas there's those that have great business sense, but they just don't, they don't excel at the imagination. So, you know, look for those people in your outer circle and bring them into your inner circle, especially people that you can trust, and have those powwows. You know, I always say a meeting amongst friends is important when you start talking about a topic that could be a solution either for a minority of people, or, you know, a minority portion of people, and or a majority. And if you could help out a majority, more power to you. But even if you just help out a segment and start off with that, you'll have a bit closer to your million or even billion-dollar idea. Who knows? Whoever thought the paperclip would be a billion-dollar idea, right?
Yeah, that's crazy. Brainstorming is a great, it's a great idea. I encourage people to do that. And definitely two heads are better than one. You know, you can brainstorm by yourself, but it's also good. Grab a friend, you know, grab a trusted friend. You know, we all have people in our lives that, some people are like, oh, I got so many friends. No, really, you've got about two or three really close, good friends, okay, that you can call like brothers and things like that. The other people are like, you know, they're friends, but you got some really close friends. Bounce some ideas off each other, right? Especially if they're creative, if they're entrepreneurial. Two heads are better than one, definitely. That's why you guys, you know, I know you guys have this chemistry and all that stuff. How often do you guys, like, meet and talk, like, during a week? Quite a bit, I'm assuming.
Jesse, you want to take that or you want me to take that? Jesse and I, look, before the COVID-19, and when I lived a little bit closer to him, we would meet almost every other week. And, you know, we would meet at Applebee's. Big shout out to Applebee's as well. You know, they have great buffalo wings. And, you know, we would do that just over happy hour, just, you know, just to see where each other were in our different lives. However, with COVID-19, came up the other day. He came up on my Twitter feed, and I saw his daughter, you know, suffering from something. And I said, hey, you know, made a call. Called him up, and then, thank God she's okay, and thank goodness she, you know, has since recovered. However, you know, I'm going to just say this, you know, with the whole COVID-19, we kind of became insulary. I think a lot of people are becoming insulary instead of saying, hey, you know what? That doesn't mean we can't pick up the phone and call somebody just because we can't meet up in person and or do, you know, hop on a little FaceTime. You know, back before this whole COVID-19, I think a majority of people didn't even know what Zoom was. Now it's like a household name. Whether or not they're going to, like, stay in business because they're having hackathons, who knows. I hope they get their stuff together. But so back to your question, you know, it wasn't until recently I said, you know, what can we do that's productive that we both could do without having to go very far? And it was, hey, why don't we revisit 2 Men in Your Business and relaunch that? And I had a quick, you know, powwow with Jesse over the phone. He says, yeah, sure, let's do it. And the great thing about Jesse is, as smart and as intelligent as he is, he's always ready to help anybody out there with a little bit of advice.
Nice.
Not a lot of bit of advice, because then you have to pay him. But with a little bit of advice to get you started, he is front and center. And that's what I really love about working with Jesse.
That's awesome.
Hey,
that's awesome. Yeah,
sorry,
Go ahead.
I had that typical mute thing on.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. you mentioned Zoom. People are like, you know, before the whole COVID-19, they're like, isn't that a weight loss program? You're like, no, that's Noom, okay? It's not Zoom, all right? So now, and people are funny because sometimes they're afraid of technology. I mean, you mentioned Twitter. I've talked to business owners, and I'm like, are you on Twitter? They're like, no, I don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. You sign up for an account, and all you do is, like, you can type in, you know, whatever. Type in something that people are going to like, it, you know, and they're gonna retweet. Okay, it has to be something. It needs to be something interesting, and it gets so much more attention when you put a picture or a video to it. But that's it. And you hashtag. They're like, what's a hashtag? You know, like Bill Clinton when he first heard the term hashtag, it's like, is that something to smoke? You know, but he never inhaled. Okay, so anyway, but you know, hashtag the crap out of it. Thank God that Twitter went from like a, remember when it first came out, it was like 140 characters. That was it. And it was like, oh, I got to truncate stuff. And Jesse, you know, being a blogger, man, it's like you probably had to like, yeah, I got to edit this stuff, man. But now it seems like you can write in almost anything in there. And it's like, okay, you got 16 characters left. It's nice now. Thank you, Twitter, for doing that. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you almost have too much now. It's sort of like, whoa, you know, because I will sit there and I'll abbreviate things, and then I'll realize I still have like another 35 characters to go. So I'll go
right,
back and I'll actually spell out the words. So I was like, whoa, I'm loving this.
I know. It's awesome.
And so you talked about Zoom, and I had explained to Aaron earlier this week how I came across a great Zoom-like app called Flows, F-L-O-W-Z. And the difference between this and Zoom is that it's got security built in, so you don't get Zoom bombed like a lot of these classroom Zoom sessions were. So if you need a Zoom-type app, check out Flows, F-L-O-W-Z. .com.
Nice.
I've used it a couple times now, and it looks and feels just like Zoom, but like I said, it's got additional security, so you don't have to worry about people, you know, getting in on your action there.
That's awesome. I just want to open the phone lines up again. You know, if anybody's out there, they have questions for Jesse or Aaron, I'm going to give you the number to call, 516-531-9305. Again, 516-531-9305. Yeah, it's amazing to me, like people with technology, like if you're in business, like I was in construction for a long time, and a couple of my friends who are very good contractors, they both had flip phones. And so I'm encouraging them to like get a smartphone, right? And so finally one of them was like, yeah, I'm going to get a new phone. I'm like, oh, awesome. You know, check out the iPhone, whatever. They're like, no, I'm getting another flip phone. I'm like, stop it. Stop it. You got to be able to text.
No, it's a Razor. It's a brand. It's a flash to the past. The Razor relaunched their Razor line. Don't knock it until you try the brand new one.
Yeah, it's a
smartphone / Razor. Yeah, remember that?
Right.
That was great.
And it's a Razor. You can shave your face with it too. So it's all of that. No, but
bingo, win-win.
Exactly. It'd be so cool. There'd be an infomercial. Hey, that might be an invention. A shaver, right? That's also a phone. Who knows? But you gotta go with technology. You have to get with the times and things like that. But people, it's amazing to me. I can tell how people are with technology based on their email address. I've got friends that still have AOL.com, you know, at AOL.com. Mm-hmm. I'm like, do you like to hear the you got mm-hmm. mail thing? And then I could tell like the people that are still single. Like I've got a friend. She used to co-host my show with me. And she looks like she's 19. I think she's like early 50s. Okay. And she's still got at hotmail.com. I'm like, oh, with a Hotmail email address, you know, when Hotmail was like, was in, you know, but you could always tell people it's like, come on, get with the times. And by the way, you know, everything with business is credibility, right? So if you have a website, you know, like I've got at Mike, you know, mine's mikebova.com. Make sure you have an email address that is like mike@mikebova.com. If you have a website and you have a Gmail, you know, at gmail.com, not that I'm not knocking it, I've got one too, but for the credibility part of it, you know, have another email address as well. Username at your website, your URL.com, because it just adds credibility. Because I'll talk to people like on like Spectrum, I'm paying my bill, whatever. They're like, what's your email address? I'm like mike@mikebova.com. They're like, ooh, you got your own website? It's like, yeah, I'm a comedian, you know? And it brings up, it's an opportunity for conversation. Oh, I have to check that on YouTube, you know? So I want to encourage people to do that because it does add a little bit of credibility to your business.
Well, and I would go one step further and say it's good branding. When I got into this, I got into this very late in the game, and unfortunately Aaron Sanchez was already taken because it was a huge, very famous chef had already branded that.
Yeah.
So I had to go one step further, which people always wonder, why do you always use your middle name? It's because I have to be different. So I have to do, you know, the M or the Michael, and, you know, I have to get that quick and fast. You know, and I get plenty of his fans, and I'm sure he gets some of my fans. However, you know, I don't know the first thing about like a culinary dish. My biggest thing is carne asada. So I tell people, you know, brand yourself, brand your name early, get it often. If there's a new platform, just go and secure your name, because you don't even know if it's going to be big. Who knew TikTok was going to be such a big game player? And now, will it make any money for people? People are making money off it. Whether or not it will succeed off into the future, I would say go get your name while you can.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's a great point. By the way, TikTok, it's so funny because, you know, I like to try to be on every, you know, every website there is or every app there is. So I was on TikTok. I put a couple of videos out there. And my daughters, I have a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old. They're both on TikTok, right? And so although their friends think, you know, they're like, your dad is so cool. He's a comedian and stuff. And they don't think I'm cool, okay? So they're like, we don't want you on TikTok. So I deleted my videos, and I went to it used to be Like, and now it's Likey. So it's kind of like TikTok, and I think it's owned by maybe the same company, who knows, but I'm on that and, you know, sharing videos and things like that. So if you want to check me out, you know, it's just at Mike Bova Comedy there. But, yeah, absolutely, every platform that you can have, you know, take advantage of.
Yeah, I agree.
So, it's getting to that time. You know, I appreciate you guys, you know, coming onto the show, taking time out of your busy schedule. I didn't know you guys were West Coasters. Oh, by the way, you mentioned that you live a little bit far apart from each other. How close are you guys in proximity to like your addresses and all that stuff? Are you within driving distance, or how far apart do you live?
So I live in a town called Manhattan Beach, which is 5 minutes from LAX. So if you've been to LAX, then that's sort of where I live. And Aaron's a little bit further than me.
Yeah, okay. I moved to what's referred to as the high desert. I never thought in a million years I would ever say that out loud. However, it was such a great, you know, business opportunity. Speaking about business opportunities, when they come up, you sometimes have to just say okay and just move forward with it. You know, the TV station where we operate out of, you know, was kind enough to say, look, come up, help us out, and in the meantime, you know, we'll give you a studio to work out your show out of. And I said, you know what, that sounds like a great deal. Plus it came, you know, with the property. And honestly, through this whole coronavirus situation, I'm kind of glad, because, you know, we live in a community where it's not as prevalent, and so it's still there for sure, and we've had, you know, some increase as well. However, I view our, you know, family as blessed, although again a lot of people say, well, you're up in the high desert, and it's kind of this kind of little phenomenon that people don't know. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity in this, you know, area, and you have to sometimes look at that. You know, I see people in communities and small communities all the time, including the high desert, to say, I don't know where the opportunity is at. And I'm like, there's a bunch of opportunities all around you. It's online. It's everywhere. We're so interconnected that I could say I'm still in LA and people not even know it. Most people don't even know I left the area. Some people think I'm still in the area in a television studio, because guess what? You can operate literally anywhere, and anywhere, literally nobody would know. But, you know, I'm always very open and prevalent about where I'm at. However, does it matter online where I'm at?
No, I would
say not really. Yeah, and that's the great thing about, you know, today, and businesses need to operate and understand that we're in a global economy, not just a, you know, in Denver, Ohio, or wherever you're at. So remember, and look, I've talked to so many business owners that are still in a local environment. I say, why are you not online? Why are you not global? Why are you not, you know, international? And they often tell me, oh, I just don't think about it that way. I'm a local guy. And I say, you know, if you're a local guy, you're going to not thrive and survive in the coronavirus situation. So I don't know how Jesse feels about that. And again, it's not all sectors, but some sectors, back to your retail question.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and it's interesting how times have changed, because, you know, I moved to where I live soon after college, pretty much right after college. And I've remained there because of business travel. And, you know, I am literally for a 6 a.m. flight, I can leave my front door and be at the front of the terminal within 7 minutes. So for me, it's a decision. And it's funny that Aaron bring that up, because I live there because of the physical travel that I have to do. But Aaron's right. You know, things have changed over the course of the last 20 years, you know, with the internet and then where it's gone, that, you know, in the newer positions, in the newer jobs, sales or whatever it might be, you can be anywhere. You can be in a ditch in the ground. As long as you have an internet connection, you're good to go. So, so it might be time for me to rethink this high rent area that I'm living in and maybe think about something. Although, you know, I have a 16-year-old and a 12-year-old, so I'm not far from you. So, you know, imagine trying to tell them that they have to leave the beach, even though the beach is closed these days. But I mean, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't see it happening, Jesse. You're stuck.
No, that's not going to happen. By the way, are both you guys from? Are you California natives? Were you born and raised somewhere else and moved out there?
I've been here the whole time.
I'm
born and raised.
I myself was born in a little city called Montebello or Montebello. Beautiful mountain is the translation.
Okay.
And I literally have I've visited and traveled other states, but it's hard when you get to the West Coast. I visited you guys on the East Coast. You have some harsh weather out there. It's just
we do.
I pray for you every day.
Yeah. I love California. I'm definitely going to go back out there again. You know, we went out there, I think, when my little one was 3 years old, and my oldest one was six. And I never thought that we would go to Disneyland before we went to Disney World, okay? So my friend had moved out to San Diego. We went to flew into LAX. We did, L.A. We did Anaheim. Anaheim was beautiful. Went down to Long Beach. Long Beach was beautiful. Went down to San Diego. And we love it out there. So I had, I was doing the podcast. I had Ed Asner on my show for a couple of times. We're talking about autism awareness and things like that. Yeah, Ed's a great guy. People are like, isn't he a grump? I'm like, grump. He's like, he's a great guy. But the first show I had him on, he's like, kid, when you come out to L.A., he says, we're going to have lunch. And then I'm talking to my comedian friends. They're like, he's going to Asner you. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, he's going to be like, I forgot my wallet. Can you pick this one up? I said, so the second show, I'm like, Ed, you're not going to Asner me, are you? He goes, no. I said, I'm going to make sure you got your wallet before we leave your house. You know what I'm saying? But I want to go out there. Ed's like 90 years old now. He's like 90.
Yeah.
And you know, he was touring. He was on tour like a man in his prostate is what his tour is called. And we've been talking about getting together and stuff like that. But when this whole COVID-19 thing goes away, we're going to do a show in L.A. There's a dentist out there. His name is Jay Grossman. I don't know if you know Jay or not. But he's got an organization called Homeless Not Toothless. And what he does is he gives free dental work to veterans and people who are impoverished and things like that. He's given away over like $5 million in dental work. And so one of his board members is Sharon Stone. And then one of his ambassadors is Felicity Huffman. So I said to Jay, I said, listen, I want to raise some money for your organization. I want to do a big comedy show out there in L.A. Would you – I sent him all the information. He goes, I love your stand-up. He goes, let's do a show. And, of course, you know, and then COVID-19 hits, and we're like, all right, maybe late fall or 2021. So,
yeah. Oh, no. Well, we were talking about that this week, you know, or it was last week. Last week on the morning show, we were talking about – the contracts that had to be null and void because of coronavirus.
Yeah.
How many traveling situations had to be null and void because, hey, you can't travel to Italy. You know, that happened in our personal life for my lady's, you know, son, and he was supposed to go to Italy in the right there, and they didn't even want to return our monies. And back to that, back to good business. You know, you want to be a bit more understanding of people if you want business. Again, you know, our insurance broker, never going back to the insurance broker, he was a douche with both my lady and I. He was like, well, why aren't you guys making as much money as you normally do? We're like, it's dried up in the business that we're in. So quite literally, you know, she's a hairstylist and makeup artist, and she has hit hard. She can't do hairstyles anymore. So, you know, until they release this. But you know, so if you're a business owner, be compassionate. Be empathetic. Show that you care. Show that – because after we're all done through this, trust me, I already have a list of people I do not ever want to do business with because people show their true colors when things are as bad as they are currently.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy stuff. I mean, people are just It's tough because, you know, when you're quarantined, they say it takes 21 days to make or break a habit, right? So, you know, I've been inside. The last show that I did was March 9th. And since March 10th, I've pretty much been homebound. I mean, what I do is when I'm not touring, I'm booking shows. I'm working from home anyway, but I can't, you know, they recommend you don't go anywhere. Just at Walmart in our area, a couple of days ago, there was a guy there who had corona, you know, tested positive, and they said, so if you're at Walmart April 21st between 1 and 2 p.m., watch your symptoms. I'm like, geez, man. You know, so I hate seeing those. Yeah, I hate seeing those stories. So, you know, I told my wife, I said, listen, I said, make a list of all the things that you need, paper products, medicines, vitamins, whatever that is, refrigerator, freezer stuff, canned goods, whatever. I'm making one trip with my mask. I'm making one trip to the store, and that's it. I said, you know, it's kind of like you get like Jackie Gleason. It's like, you're a regular riot, Alice. You know, you start doing like what you start getting all Jackie Gleason, man, you know. And I'm like, I'm going one time, and that's it. So I go once, and I come home. I'm like, we need milk. I'm like, that's why I bought two. I buy two of everything. I literally, two bags of Cool Ranch Doritos, which my daughters love. I got to buy two because one's gone like the first day. And so we're just trying to go out like not at all. You know what I mean? But you get into the habit now of staying home and going stir crazy. I mean, it'll drive you nuts if you let it. So you got to just relax. The main focus now is to stay healthy, stay home, stay alive. By the way, when is California reopening or, you know, partially or whatever that is? Is that coming up for you guys or no?
Jesse, because I know you watch it most closely as well. I from what I understand, it's May 15th is what Newsom,
okay.
Governor Newsom has said. Is that correct, Jesse?
So that's the date that the most recent quarantine expires. But
yeah.
Most likely, you know, what's happening is we're going to go. I mean, so Newsom and all the other governors are watching, you know, the canaries in the coal mine right now, which, you know, are Georgia and the others, what, Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
and
sure.
whatever other states are opening up early. And so between
yeah.
now and May 15th, they're looking to see, you know, where things go in terms of the number of cases. And if you start seeing, you know, more and more cases, then I would expect that it extend, you know, there. I mean, we've already got, you know, for example, USC out here has already announced
mm-hmm.
that it's probably going to go full online. And and Stanford is talking about starting the fall semester in January and kind of extending
wow.
the summer break longer so that they don't actually have to go to online next year. And so they would literally go, you know,
wow.
all the way through the summer and into the fall of the
mm-hmm.
following year. So,
wow.
so everyone out here, you know, Newsom's a politically savvy guy. You know, he knows how to play his cards well, particularly with this president who's an egomaniac. He's very good at managing him, and so I think he's not going to really show his cards until the very end.
Mm-hmm.
But I suspect he's probably – I can't imagine the news being good news from Georgia and the other states. And so I suspect
right.
we're probably going to see an extension, maybe some industries coming back, you know, on a limited
sure.
basis. But, again, I think it's really all going to depend
yeah.
on what happens in those other states. So.
Yeah,
which
New York
is
very
scary.
Similar to California in as far as, you know, governors go and as far as politics go and things like that. I mean, I think we're, you know, my kids are in school. My wife's a teacher. My wife is not liking teaching online because it's not like, you know, who would have thought of this? If and my daughters, you know, with their class and stuff like that, they're missing some assignments because it's like, oh, I didn't see that. If it was set up like a regular classroom, it's like, so you're watching the computer,
right.
you know, you got the new teacher on, whatever. And if it was like a classroom setting, like you go to all your classes, you break for lunch, you come back, whatever. It's a different story. But now you got to be, you know, my wife's got to do lesson plans. She's got to be creative. She's got to use Zoom. She's got to use Google Meet and whatever. And now you got parents that are in the background. She's got to mute people or whatever. It's like, it's crazy stuff. But so May 15th is when the schools are closed until. But I imagine New York, I mean, even though we're upstate and they can maybe open part of upstate, whatever, although we do have cases throughout the state. But, you know, I mean, it might go through, this might be the end of the school year, you know, physically. I mean, we don't know. But yeah, well, it's interesting to see like Georgia, right? I mean, how Georgia does.
And I've been following your news very closely on the East Coast because I got to applaud Governor Cuomo over there. You guys really have a heavy hitter, and he takes every punch that he's given and throws like five punches right back. I love that guy. And I've always said, even on our daily show, I said, when you see what's happening on the East Coast, prepare for that to happen here on the West Coast, because you've got hugely densely populated areas. You are more densely populated than we are on the West Coast. But if it weren't for what happened there in New York, and then for thankfully the governor and here in California to say, look, I'm going to take a playbook literally by, I think, Governor Cuomo's expectation and realization of what was happening over there. If we wouldn't have done so, our numbers would be a much higher than they currently are. Although, unfortunately, we reported how yesterday we had a spike here as well, just before yesterday in deaths, you know. So again, we're certainly not out of the woods yet. Although, oddly enough, and I don't know about you, Jesse, but being in LA, which I currently had to come down here for some other business, I'm just wondering if you're feeling like people are taking a summer vacation right now.
Well, I think, you know, so. You know, it's 85, 90 degrees out here. I think, you know, I just picked up a syringe and I got some Lysol here. I think I'm just going to give myself a little quick fix and then head out to the beach.
Smart. There you go.
You know,
you're disinfecting.
Just shoot myself
up.
A straight line, a little Lysol, and
I'm
good to go.
Don't say that, Jesse. You know what? Maryland, I think, Maryland got 100 calls from people saying, is this a thing? So we're not being sarcastic. We're not joking. Yeah. No, we're joking and we're being sarcastic. It's a funny show.
Right. I just thought, hey, listen, I used to be a big fan of Bacardi 151 rum. Okay. I mean, it's 151 proof. It's almost like, you know, it's almost pure alcohol. Just drink a couple of shots of that. That'll kill anything.
Clean yourself
out. You know what I'm saying?
And point the flashlight down your throat, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
That'll
do it. But, yeah, 151 rum and all that stuff. I was thinking, you know, so, you know, about being safe, because you go to the grocery store, you got your mask on, and some people have, you know, like latex gloves or whatever on. But, you know, you're touching all the groceries that people have probably had their paws on. I try to reach, like, in the back and try to grab the stuff that's in the back that is not towards the front, you know what I mean? And, but you gotta take your Lysol wipes, which if you can find any, you know, all the power to you, cause I can't find any Lysol wipes or whatever, but you gotta try to wipe your stuff down and, you know, you're handling all these groceries and stuff that people have had their mitts on. It's like, man. So I just bring hand sanitizer with me. I bring just hand sanitizer. I sanitize it down before I put the groceries in and grab all my door handles and the steering wheel and stuff like that. Just try to sanitize. Go home, put your stuff away, wash your hands, don't touch your face. I mean, you just got to be careful. I mean, it's the craziest time. I never thought that we'd have to deal with something like this. It's just crazy. Crazy.
And it's sad that there's a lot of the opposite happening, although it is a minority. They did a poll recently, and they saw that although there's like a 10%, 10, maybe even 15% that are like, let's just – throw caution to the wind. Remember, it's a minority, not a majority. So don't feel like you have to, you know, go by that.
No, definitely. I was watching a show. It was a few weeks ago. It was Dr. Phil, okay? And they were talking about, like, the whole spring break thing. And he had a 21-year-old girl on, okay? And so she was talking about how she went down to spring break and all this kind of stuff. And he's like, So you went down there and partied, and she's like, yeah, you know, that whole thing is overrated. You know, you guys are, it's a big scam, whatever. I was like doing whatever down there. Can you imagine her parents watching that? It's like, how can you be proud of your 21-year-old daughter? She's like talking to Dr. Phil, like, you know, I did whatever I wanted to down there and stuff. And Dr. Phil's like, are you crazy? You know, in his voice. And he's like, listen, he was like, I'm going to tell people right now to not hurt you if they see you, whatever, because you're infuriating a ton of people who have lost loved ones because of COVID. And she's out there, you know, oh, this thing is like ridiculous. I'm going to go do whatever I want to. I'm like, are you kidding me, man? Kidding me.
Well, yeah. It's difficult when you have an administration giving you one word and then the very next day giving you a completely opposite reaction. And I think people are not knowing who or what to turn to. There's so much false information out there that unfortunately people are, back to Jesse's joke a moment ago, there are a small sliver of people, including, I mean, come on, Tide Pods, remember those? Everybody was doing those as a challenge. We have a segment that needs to be reminded, hey, maybe not a good idea, okay? Just maybe not a good idea. Do something good with your life. Go create and invent something, or create a marketing deal, or do something good with your life, but don't do that.
Yeah, and just have common sense. You know, so many people have lost common sense.
I was reading on Fox News. There was this article about this guy that on Facebook had been saying, oh, you know, this COVID-19 thing, it's all a scam, it's all fake news, blah, blah, blah. It's all a bunch of BS. And then the article says that the guy ended up catching it and dying. And and so, you know, and this was on Fox, they actually put it out there and said, you know, you know, they've changed their tune since the very beginning. Back in January, you know, they were it's a hoax, it's a hoax. And now they've kind of taken a more conservative approach. But I mean, it's happening. You've got people out there that are saying, you know, that are saying, you know, this is not a big deal, and then they're catching it, and then, you know, they're wishing that, well, maybe they should have paid a little more attention to the science. Sure.
Well, it's definitely a big deal when, you know, the government has a task force for COVID and they're doing press conferences every day. Okay, like I spent time in the media. I was in the newspaper business for about 7 years. I actually cut my teeth with Gannett, and then I went to a chain of newspapers, and then I became the publisher and CEO of my own newspaper for a while. And so I'm very big on the news. I love watching the news and things like that. And we were huge on the facts, right? Because, you know, with the newspaper, you know, I work for places that lean left, lean right, whatever. And said, you know what, let's go with old-fashioned journalism. Let's just report the facts. Because Americans are smart enough, most of them, to just read a story and they're like, okay, and make an informed decision. So common sense, people have lost their common sense. Listen, just use practical stuff. You know, I mean, I did a show at Rivers Casino in Schenectady down by Albany, and they had signs up reminding people how to wash their hands. Are you kidding me, man? We don't know how to wash our hands. How old are we, right? Jeez.
Wow. Yeah. It's true.
Common sense. Common sense.
You know, I go one step further, and I like to say, you know, the majority of mankind all around the world is pretty smart. And unfortunately, and I've looked at other, you know, news outlets from international waters, and it's sad. It really is when these type of reports don't even stay in the U.S. bubble, but it's being perceived that, you know, all these other really smart countries are actually doing the right thing. Look at Trudeau over in Canada, just north of us, doing some pretty amazing things for his people there, other people in other countries as well, taking the lead, taking the charge, and doing the right thing, even for their businesses. You know, there were some interesting things and laws that are coming out in some of these areas. And look, the larger the community, the harder it is to manage that financially. I get it. I understand that. However, those that are stepping up to the challenge, which, let's face it, the United States of America has at least done a good step in the right direction, but I feel more needs to be done. And when that is accomplished, then maybe we all can say, okay, hey, we need to take a hit right now, but this is good for the majority of time so that we don't, God forbid, hit another major spike, which everybody's been talking about, back to the 1917 Spanish flu. And back to something you said a moment ago, which was, did you ever foresee 2020 would be a pandemic? I would venture to say no. However, there is a good series that I would tell everybody to go watch on Netflix if you have it. Big streaming, you know, if you want to invest in anything, you should have invested in Netflix before COVID-19 or during, right when it started. But it's called Pandemic, How to Prevent an Outbreak. And that came out in early 2019, actually, or it was at least produced. And if you look at that, you'll understand why the stay-at-home order is so important. You've got Ebola out there. You've got other SARS-related diseases, as well as smallpox and others. having a virus as widespread as this one that's gone over international seas is what the World Health Organization has been trying to prevent for quite some time, and yet here we are. We're living at a historic moment, and what we do and what we say and what we continue to do will mark our history forever.
Sure. Sure. People are going to look back on this, you know, in future years and be like, oh, yeah, remember, 2020, whatever. It's crazy. It's crazy. I never thought, you know, here we are. 2020, it's a great year. It's symmetrical, right? 2020 is, hindsight is everything, and hindsight's 2020, and here we are in this pandemic, which I just hope it ends soon. I hope we can just, you know, I just want it to go away. It's wearing on me because I need to perform. I'm a performer. And so, you know, it's taken away, you know, what I do for a living, and, you know, thank God I got some other things. And we want to give some more advice to people that are just tuning in, you know, listen to the beginning of the show where we give you some helpful ideas on how to transition into other things. I mean, I hate the expression. I don't know if you guys hate it as well. I hate the term jack of all trades, master of none. I hate it because I think it's more jack of many trades, master of a couple or maybe a few, because everybody is good at something. They got things in their wheelhouse that they're good at. Like, I've been a musician for a long time. My drummer, when I was a kid, I was 9 years old. He was five, okay? And he was drumming like a man. He drums for Kenny Chesney, all right? He went to Nashville. Kenny Chesney picked him up, country music star, and he made it big. So I've always been in music, and I do the parodies. I incorporate that with my comedy now. But I've been in construction, which I might have to go back to construction once it opens up, because I got to be making some money here. And I've been in marketing and business. So, you know, there's a few things that people are good at that you might have to, like, revisit those and see, you know, how you can make money with those if your business is completely shut down right now. Right?
Yeah, that's actually absolutely true. You know, one of the you mentioned construction out here in California, the commercial construction sector, particularly that one that is involved in public works, you know, doing schools and government buildings,
right,
it's considered an essential industry, and so it has not been affected at all. In fact, what's happening with them is as more and more school districts decide, you know what, we're just going to finish off the year completely online. We're not even going to come back to class. What's happening is the work that would normally be done between June and August, the construction work, re-roofing, painting, whatever it is, they're starting it earlier. And so there are, you know, at least out here, if you're someone that's looking for something, you know, I would recommend go to the local unions and look about joining on as an apprentice if you don't have, you know, time in, and joining one of the trades that, you know, and at least through the summer until this thing, you know, you can make pretty, you know this. I mean, there's reasonable
all
money to be made in the trades. Oh yeah, it's all prevailing wage work. So, so even if you're an apprentice, you're making, you know, 35, 40, 45 bucks an hour depending on where you're located, and there's plenty of that work right now. So I think your advice is great advice, which is, you know, see what else is out there, at least in the meantime, while your industry kind of sits on the sidelines until it's ready to go again.
Yeah, that's
interesting.
What you bring up, because the last recession that really hit hard here in the U.S., I had met people that time construction was hurting, and a lot of construction people had to pivot literally into what they were doing. And I know some that learned auto trade, or they went back to school for something. And right now is a great time to take advantage of the lull that is happening. Like, for example, IBM.com/skills. If you go there, they have a free program to teach you how to code and against hacking and security, you know, administration and whatnot. And so they are providing, I believe, Jesse, you have like a pretty cool site there where people can learn and perhaps even get certificates and or prepare for going back in their own sector. What was that one called again?
Yeah, so I'm a Coursera junkie. So in fact, last night I finished another class. And you're right, it's a great little resource. You can take the classes for free. If you don't pay the fee, you don't get necessarily the certificate of completion, but you don't,
right.
It doesn't cost you anything, and you get all the knowledge. Or you can choose to pay us per class or per specialization, whatever it might be. But it's I just tell people, if you want to learn or get your skills back up, maybe you haven't been in it. Maybe you were a web developer for a while and then you kind of got out of it to do something else, and now you're jumping back in and you need to know what the new coding language might be. That's all the rage. You can go ahead and get a primer and get back in the game. I think that's a great idea. I mean, there are opportunities out there for folks. They may not be what you want to do, but sometimes in the short term, we have to do something that isn't what we want to do, but we'll put food on the table.
Right. Sometimes you got to just come out of your comfort zone a little bit and do something else if people are smart, they're a quick study. And you know what? I wanted to recommend something before, and I almost forgot about this. If you need help, like we were talking about prototypes before, about inventions, whatever, there's a really great website called Fiverr, all right, and Fiverr.com, where there's people that will do stuff. It used to be all like $5 stuff, but there's people that will help you out with different parts of your business, whether it's writing or whatever that is, graphic design and things like that. Like somebody was looking for a graphic design person today because they're redoing like their logos and things like that. So if you need help with that, was a part of your business, whatever, that you want to like maybe rebrand or, you need help with, Fiverr.com is great because some of these people will do it for 10 bucks or 20 bucks or whatever that is. I mean, anything, including SEO and web design, whatever that is, it's right there. Fiverr.com, Fiverr.com. So yeah, there's so many great resources. I mean, Google is, if you're looking for something, just Google it. Right. I mean, you can find pretty much anything that you need business wise, whatever that is, transitioning. I mean, there's so many different options now for people. So we want to encourage business people to transition or go online, sell some stuff online. And think outside the box. You got to think outside the box for sure. So we got a little bit less than 10 minutes, guys. I want to, have you guys get your information out there where people can contact you that are listening to the show and everything. What is the best way for people to contact you guys?
Online, definitely on Facebook. We have a fan page there. It is Two Men in Your Business. You could always follow myself at Aaron M. Sanchez or Jesse. You've got several ways to connect, but we also have a YouTube channel platform that if you type in Two Men in Your Biz, with a Z.com, it'll direct you right to that as well. Right, Jesse?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you can check out our, I think we did two seasons of videos. So you can kind of catch all the episodes there. And we actually still have people get in touch with us over those videos. That it's been a few years, but the content is evergreen. And so if it helped you back then, chances are I can help you now as well. Far as reaching out to me, apart from that, you can reach out to me on Twitter at J.S. Torres, so J.S.T.O.R.R.E.S. And that's a good way to reach me as well.
So your YouTube channel, how often did you guys, you said like two seasons, how often did you post a video? Was it weekly or?
Actually, we did, Jesse, I hope you don't mind me taking this, but we actually, we would post it weekly. We would tape them several in advance. So, and we would keep them pretty short, and we just wanted to get, any at that time, I mean, 2 or 3 minutes was the magic spot, but we figured, get the information out. So we usually do 8 to 10 minutes, but quick, fast, 3 or 4 or 5 things you should do around a certain thing. Our most popular one is activation, getting yourself activated. And that one has definitely been very helpful to people to just say, look, if you have an idea, get it done. Literally stop procrastinating. People procrastinate so much, right, Jesse?
Yeah, that's right. And so, I mean, that one, you're right, that one, we started with that one. It wasn't that we wanted to make it the most popular, but I think it's the one that probably resonates with people the most because we talked about it earlier today. It's, you've got an idea, but, if you're not getting yourself, getting your butt off your seat, and going out and doing something about it, you know, what good is a million or a billion dollar idea if you don't take action? And so we give some pointers on, you know, what to do to get yourself moving. You know, we talk about, you know, getting off someday aisle, you know, someday I'll do this, someday I'll do that, and actually activating and getting it done. And so so we've got, you know, it's a series of short videos that where the point is, you know, to kind of get you, you know, they're high energy. We kind of get you excited about doing something, kind of give you a game plan, and then just kind of unleash you and let you go get at it.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, it was so funny. I was talking about procrastination to somebody else. I did a couple of interviews with a couple of podcasts in India. It's crazy because you never know what doors are going to open up with social media, right? So I did a live, an Instagram live in India, and then this other person hit me up, and we did a podcast, and we're talking about, he said, what's your one bad habit? I said, here's the thing. If I don't take care of something right away, right, because it's out of sight, out of mind, right, I got to return an email, I got to return a phone call. And if I don't do it right away, it slips my mind and it just goes on forever. Like one of the ways in people do business, a lot of people in business, you make a phone call that's important and they never call you back, right? Do you guys ever experience that? Like you got to hound them to like, you know, did you get my message? Did you get my email or whatever? You shouldn't have to do that. You know, business people should get back to you, right? But procrastination. So like Martin Mull, remember Martin Mull, the comedian? He was on a show and he said, I wrote this song about procrastination. He goes, it's called Don't Put Off Till Tomorrow What You Can Do Today. So he starts singing. It's like, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Like he had girls like backup singers and they're like doing the oohs and ahs, whatever. And he ends it with, don't leave things unfinished. And he goes, that's all I wrote. You know, and I'm like, oh my God, that's genius. That is genius, you know. And so procrastination, folks, yeah. So I want to encourage people, like I'm on Facebook now, Two Men in Your Business, and you definitely go to Facebook. You want to like follow them, which I'm going to do now. And you guys have pretty much almost 10,000. Yeah, that's awesome. So you definitely want to do that. You want to check out their YouTube channel as well and get some helpful advice. And really now is not the time to procrastinate. I was talking to somebody and said, right now you have to be very diligent with your time. You have to be very intentional. Okay. So every second counts. So make a list of things to do, prioritize them and knock them off one at a time. And, you know, just be very diligent with your time. You can't sit around and watch like, you know, you can't binge watch anything because it's just not productive. Do something productive. And you know what? That'll get the creative juices flowing. That'll get your mind, you know, occupied in the right direction. Do not sit around and watch TV and be glued to it constantly. Do something. Like you guys said, do something. So I want to thank you guys for coming on the show. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and I encourage people if they, you know, brush off the dust on your LinkedIn profile, get it ready because it is a great networking deal there. I know a lot of people have reignited to be able to go there, and they're like, oh, wow. You know, people are starting to go back there even more so now. So, you know, brush up on that. Yeah. Make it. Jesse has a really good course on that, on literally improving your LinkedIn overnight to get noticed.
Oh, okay.
So, I advise you to follow Jesse and ask him about that training course.
Sure. You know what? I planned for this show. I figured, you know, we're going to have a great time, which I hope you guys had a good time on the show. And I said, let me set it for more than an hour. Let me set it for an hour and a half. And here we are pretty much at an hour and a half. I mean, time flies when you're having fun. So I just want to tell you guys, I appreciate you guys so much for coming on and doing what you guys do. And I'm going to, you know, share those links to your Facebook page, to your YouTube channel, and make sure that people connect with you, follow you. I want to watch all the videos now on YouTube because, hey, listen, you're always a sponge. You should always be learning. Nobody has ever arrived. Okay. So you can, get some knowledge. If you're going to watch some stuff, watch these videos and watch some other videos. Again, Shark Tank, the things that will encourage you and get you motivated to get you in the right direction. But guys, any last words? Any final thoughts?
Go ahead, Jesse.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I think you nailed it. You know, I mean, we're in unprecedented times, and it is easy to kind of not do anything. I mean, it's almost like we're being given an excuse to sit down and not do anything. You know, if you go and you have a conversation with someone and they say, you know, what'd you do today? And you say, well, I didn't do anything. They'd be, yep, same.
Yeah.
But use this as an opportunity to grow yourself, you know, in terms of what you know, your knowledge, in terms of, you know, what you want to do and find ways to grow either your existing business or grow a new one so that once we're out of this, you know, you can kind of look back on it and say, you know what, that was a horrible experience, but it somehow, you know, it all came out okay.
Sure, definitely.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Go ahead.
And for me, I just like to say, you know, again, be more safe than sorry. We never want to look back at the time that we're in and say, oh, shoot, I wish I weren't that spring breaker, or I wish I weren't that pastor that made his congregation come into the church, regardless of what the stay-at-home order was. And he himself ended up dying from coronavirus. It actually happened.
Yeah.
So no matter what's happening in the business scape of things, make sure, again, family is important. Friends are important. Make sure to check up on one another. No matter what, this is a time that even though economically speaking, we're all feeling the pinch, quite literally, let's remember what it's like during this time so that when we come out of it, be more kind, be more empathetic to those that are suffering because of the coronavirus. And let's come out of this together, stronger, united, and being able to say, look, we're going to do what we need to do, because if this administration is not willing to do what we want to do, then we're going to powwow together and we're going to make things happen no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and definitely pick up the phone. Don't just text people or whatever. Pick up the phone and talk to them. I was a friend of mine, his name is Ori Spato, and he wrote a book called The Accidental Gangster, you know, talking about, you know, he's the Hollywood mob boss. And we were texting back and forth, and Ori's like he's in his 70s or something like that. And I said, hey, you got a minute to talk? He's like, yeah. And it was just nice to hear a voice because, you know, we're so shut in that just picking up the phone and calling somebody, right? Remember, it was a bell or whatever. It's the next best thing to be in there, you know, just hearing a voice. And we got FaceTime and all that kind of stuff. Don't just text somebody. Call them, FaceTime them, whatever, because it still gives you – you know, although it's not a physical connection like in the present where you guys are, you know, having lunch or whatever, it's still personal and it's still better than texting somebody. Right. Be a little bit more social that way. So, but guys, I want to thank you guys again for coming on. You've been awesome. And I'll share the links with everybody and if you guys can do that as well. But thank you both. And I wish you guys a good night and a
thank
great weekend.
Thank you. Thanks
yeah,
for
you're
having
welcome.
Us. We had it. Great
you're
time.
Welcome. And I'll have... You know, I'll have you guys on again, you know, because you're awesome. So I appreciate you guys so much. Have a good night.
Looking forward to it. And can't wait to see your stand-up. Come to L.A. Let me know when you're going to be here.
Oh, absolutely. I will definitely let you know that. I'm going to hook that up as soon as everything is good to go, and we will definitely be out in L.A.
All right.
Talk to you soon, guys.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Take care.
All right. Bye.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.